has been so misunderstood and people really haven't grasped the fact that it's fruit and it's of the Holy Spirit. People so often think that it's something that they go through the list, and you, because we live in where basically people from the West, sometimes get linear in their thinking. In other words, they go A, B, C, D. They compartmentalize things, and they're very linear. But the Bible was written not in Western culture, not in Platonistic linear culture. The Bible is written in a holistic way. It's written in a Jewish culture where things are understood holistically. Now, the difference is then that instead of looking at things as a list and we have to go through fruits and I've got to aim for this, when you understand and read something holistically, you have a different approach and it becomes easier to understand it. But before we even look at that, I thought, really, before we look at that, because there's so many misconceptions, I want to have a few moments to point out some aspects of the Christian life. Because so often we think that the Christian life is shown or proved by the things that we do. And so we've turned fruit into something that we do. Let me just share this with you. In fact, the first time I heard about this was when I read a sermon that was first preached in 1741 at St. Mary's Church, Oxford, in the university by John Wesley. That's something, isn't it? Let me just share this. He pointed out that there is such a thing as the almost Christian. Almost Christian. And watch what he said. First of all, you could have a person who is an honest person. They don't go around making things up. They're an honest person. They're honest. But they're still just an almost Christian. You could have someone who's honest. You could have them really loving the truth and justice. And they're still just an almost Christian. You could have someone who gives food. They give clothing. And they're very tender-hearted when it comes to charity. Those people could still be almost Christians. Still almost Christians. You could have someone who blesses. They don't curse and they avoid evil speaking. And yet they could still be just almost a Christian. You could have someone who avoids lies, all strife. They avoid contention. And if someone does them wrong, he doesn't try to get his own back. He lives at peace. He doesn't return evil for evil. And still, he's just an almost Christian. You could have someone who does good. They don't confine themselves now, mind, just to the cheap sort of things that you could do. You know, easy things such as kindness. No, they really spend their lives and they even go through suffering for the profit of other people, that they may help people in their lives. Still, almost a Christian. You could have someone who is constantly in God's house. And not now, you know, like some people who, you know, are just there, you know, casually. No, they're in God's house and they're serious and they're very devoted. and they're very serious and devoted to the things of God in God's house. And still, they're almost a Christian. This is a picture. This is some picture. You could have someone, we're going to even go further with this picture. Watch this. You could have someone who's constant in family prayer times, setting time apart during the course of the day for private prayer with God, with a daily seriousness and commitment to God in their behavior, and still they're almost a Christian. Still just almost a Christian. None of those things is proof that they are really Christ's. None of those things. You could have someone with sincerity and a design to serve God, a heart-filled design to serve God. That's the principle of their lives, in doing good, abstaining from evil, and using all of the ordinances of God, and still they're not yet a Christian. And so the question is, what's missing? Is anyone asking that? What's missing? Let me show you what's missing. And this gets to the heart of the matter when it comes to fruit. This is why we're going down this route first. The Christian, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. This is a description that we really want to have in the forefront of our minds. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You see, he that loves the Lord his God has their spirit on the inside constantly rejoicing in God as his Savior. His delight is in the Lord. Throughout the course of the day, they're not doing things on the outside to try and get close to God or try and prove that they really are a Christian and that they're living a good and decent life. It's not about those outward things at all. All of those outward expressions should be there. We ought to see all of those outward things. But the point is this. You can see all those outward things in people and they're not yet Christians. What we want for the Christian is to have the inward thing that's taking place, and the inward thing is that love is on the inside. Love for God, an appreciation for God, a waking up in the morning saying, hallelujah, thank God for Jesus, I'm alive! His life is in me. I'm changed. When I was a young man, I called out. I said, God, if you're there, show me. And he showed me. And now my life has changed. I'm a different person now. It's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. I'm different. I'm changed. That's the kind of thing that the Christian has. That's what God wants. That's the authentic Christianity. And the problem with this country so often is that religious places have people going through the motions of Christianity, going through prayer, going through all the outside ordinances of God, but still not changed on the inside. Nothing's changed. But when we're changed and born from above, as John 3 says, on the inside, what happens is there is that love And that love makes all the difference. And so now we go through life with a thankfulness, a joy in our heart for Jesus. We rejoice in God. All our desires are towards God. His delight, that this person, their delight is in the Lord. Their pursuit in life isn't the things of life. It's not the attainment of things. It's not the things on the outside that they're aiming for. They're aiming for a yielded life to God. Everything, the most important thing in their life is yielding to God. This is the description of the Christian. All his desire towards God, crucified to self, a bondslave of Christ, as Paul says. And in Romans 12:1, we have the picture of a living sacrifice. So, say all that to say this. Jesus said, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Matthew 7:16. So now let's move quickly to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Galatians, the fifth chapter. And let's read from verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have. Everyone say have. Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Perhaps one of the most familiar passages of the whole of the Bible. And it talks about those characteristics that believers should somehow have in their lives. But in doing this, people have overlooked what the text really says. The text is saying, for example, that we should have joy. So what do believers do? They've written out their list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, like good, you know, little Christians. And now they're saying, right, I'm going to have joy. And they wake up in the morning and say, well, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I'm going to somehow be joyful. And, you know, they put on Only Fools and Horses to laugh, and they think that's joy. The key to understanding the qualities is in the phrase itself. It says fruit. Fruit is not artificial. It's not manufactured. Fruit is the natural produce that results from growth. Fruit comes out of a tree. You know, we don't buy fruit in the supermarket and stick it on the tree and say, there's the tree with fruit on it. The fruit comes out of the tree. It just comes forth out of a healthy tree. You don't have to try and go down the list and say, now I must have these things in my life. I've got to have love. I've got to have joy. No, that's artificial. That's not understanding what it's saying. It's saying it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that comes out naturally. It's the byproduct of a healthy tree. Fruit is the byproduct of a healthy tree. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not your fruit. Or my fruit is his fruit in us. He will produce his fruit. Amen? And the tree doesn't have to strain to produce the fruit. There's no effort or willpower needed. It's not about effort or willpower or concentration causing the fruit to grow. About, you know, I will be joyful. I will have joy. I will love. I will be joyful. The fruit comes automatically so long as the tree is healthy. Praise God. It's our yielded lives. This is the thing. Yielded lives. When we yield, we can receive. And when we receive from God, we receive good things from God. And what's happened is we've sometimes robbed from ourselves by trying to force things and being stiff and not understanding the text and trying to manufacture and conjure up and work things up. If we just yield to what God is saying to us. I mean, God speaks, Jesus speaks to his children. He's the good shepherd. He's speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us. You know, I think of, there's a chap, Eric Erickson, from the Gospel Channel. Simple man, really. And when I met with him, he told me this. So I said, how did this start? How did the Gospel Channel start? He said, oh, well, he said, I prayed. He said, brother, I prayed, you know. Iceland accent. You know it's not a good accent when you have to tell the people where. he said, brother, I had to pray, you know. And I said, well, you know, what happened? He said, well, he said, I prayed. And he said, the Lord told me I should be evangelist. I said, oh, well, what did the Lord tell you to do? The Lord told me to go and set up a TV work to evangelize. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, well, you know. He said, I spend time yielding to God. I pray. He said, I pray 2 hours, sometimes I 4 hours, sometimes 6 hours. He said, I find a nice, quiet, sometimes I go in the cupboard. No one knows where I am. He said, I just have a little cushion. I sit on the, I kneel down and pray. He said, sometimes 4 hours, 6 hours, I just yield. He said, I have this thing. He said, and I prayed. And the Lord told me, he said, the Lord said, set up a TV station. And so he said, I went to the government and I told them I want to set up a TV station. And they said to me, well, they said, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, do you have any money? He said, I have no money. They said, oh, well, do you have all the equipment? He said, I have no equipment. I said, oh, do you have a team of people then who are with you? I have no people with me. They thought, oh, we've got a nutcase. They said, we'll take you £300. You can give us $300, it was, for your license. We'll, you know, yeah, you can have a license. And as he walked out of the door, they all laughed. But you see, he had been yielding to God. What happens when we yield to God? He gives us adventures in faith. And those are different. And the trouble is, human beings are so insecure, sometimes we look to follow or copy someone else. You know, and I want someone else to, oh, now they've had an experience, let me be, you know, let me copy what they did, you know. And if I copy what they did, maybe I'll get the same experience. Foolishness. God is dealing with us as individuals, and he wants us yielded. And he loves us as individuals. He'll speak to us as individuals. If each of us is a tree, the fruit is different. It's his fruit coming out of us. The characteristics are generalized in what we see. But what is love? Well, love manifests in a way. And it'll manifest in your life, perhaps differently one day to my life. Still love, but how it manifests. Still reaching out to people. In his life, it was through evangelism. He walks out of the office, everyone's laughing, and then he continues to pray. That's all the resource he's got is prayer. That's all he ever needed. Just prayed. And then a plane is flying overhead, and it runs, surprisingly runs out of gas. They have to make an emergency landing in Reykjavik Airport, Iceland. The guy gets off the plane. They all have to get off the plane and wait while they refuel. As they're waiting in the lounge for the plane to refuel, they read the local newspapers that are lying on the tables, and this one chap is reading it, and he reads the mocking story that a reporter's written about this character who wanted a license, he's got no resources, and it was just making fun of him. And what happened was this man, his heart was moved. And he said, well, I'm going to find out this guy's, I'm going to get in touch with him. So he got his phone number, and Brother Eric was on his knees in prayer. The phone was there. It was about to be cut off. And the phone rang, and he lifted it up. He said, shall I interrupt the prayer? He said, yes, I will. Picks up the phone, and he says, hello. And the guy on the other end says, hi there. This is Paul Crouch. I want to speak to Eric Erickson. He said, I am Brother Eric. He said, well, I'm from TBN. He said, I'm the founder and owner of TBN. He said, brother, the Lord has moved on my heart, and I'm going to give you whatever you need. Hallelujah. He gave him money. He gave him cameras. He gave him everything he needed. That was 25 years ago now, or thereabouts. And now the gospel channel in Iceland is bigger than the secular TV station over there, the national network. Hallelujah. You see what happens? So this is about yielding. It's about just yielding our lives. And, you know, each one of us, God has got a deposit in each one of us. That gift is in each one of us. He wants to stir up those gifts, wants those gifts to manifest. So I'm so happy when I think about these scriptures and I think of the fruit of the Spirit and I think about what God is doing, I'm blessed. 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says this, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Let me read it again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Spirit with a big S. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. As a child of God, He wants us to know the things that have been freely given to us. He wants us to know those things. How do we know those things? By knowing His Word, we know those things. By applying the Word in context, understanding what it says, receiving that Word, we know what He's given us. He wants us to receive those things freely. It cost Him His Son. His Son finished and paid for it all. It's done. And now it's ours for the receiving. Amen? He wants us to receive those blessings freely. That's His love towards us. Perhaps, you know, you may be asking God, well, how is it that I don't have the blessings? It seems like I don't have blessing in my life. And maybe I have so little of this and I don't have much of that. And why have I not fulfilled my potential? And I believe God is saying this. He's saying, well, what do you lack? What is it that you lack in your life? Is it health? Take it. It's been paid for with the life of my Son. Opportunity, take it. Paid for by the life of His Son. Healing, take it. Paid for by the life of His Son. Wisdom, take His wisdom. Paid for. It's there for us. It's ours. But there's something in human beings that wants to work to attain something. It's sort of in our midst, we feel it's part of the curse. By the sweat of your brow, you'll earn your way. And, you know, this is why we have to be transformed, the renewing of our mind, so that we get out of that understanding and into the receiving understanding of His grace freely. It's ours. I don't want Macy to pay for anything. She doesn't need to pay. I'm not holding her. She doesn't need to pay me anything at all. But you know, if I offer her something and she sits in the corner and she's just... And I say, come on, my darling, I want you to have this, you know, come on. I just can't believe that. I'll go and mow the garden or something. Not that she could mow the garden yet, but, you know. I'll go and do the dishes, or let me go and do something. And say, well, you know, you can do all that if you want, but I'm not asking you to do that. You go and spend your time doing that for as long as you want. I'm not asking you to do that. We don't earn those things from God. Let's read that scripture again that we just read. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. You see, when we hear about the Spirit, when we think of the Spirit who is from God, it says, but we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. When we think of receiving the Spirit who is from God, usually we think of Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power and that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the dunamis power of God. That's what we think. We don't usually think of this, do we? But it says here, plain and clear, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given us by God. Hallelujah. I'm so happy in my life I knew that there was healing provision for me. Have a guess what happened? As soon as I knew that, I was healed. And the enemy wants us trapped in a lack of expectancy. That's why we sing that song, it's mine, I'll have it now. It's mine, I'll have it now. In the Word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine, I'll have it now. Hallelujah. He wants us to be receivers. He wants that to happen. He wants us to understand that these things have been freely given. They exist. And now He's called us to believe and receive. Hallelujah. So, you may be asking, you know, why is it that I don't seem to have some of these things? Well, take the provision. Take His favor. Every time you come into His presence, take and take and take. God's not short of resources. So often when I say to people, shall we pray? They say, well, you know, I don't want to bother God. You speak to some people, you know, non-Christians or people who have just come to know the Lord and they don't want to bother. It's not a bother. He's not short of resources or time. Glory to God. God, your Heavenly Father, wants you to receive like the prodigal son. He deserved nothing, but He received everything. Hallelujah. Delights in giving to us freely. He delights in us receiving freely, because it shows that we value and appreciate His Son's sacrifice. You see, to say, now think of this, to say that we are trusting in the sacrifice, following Jesus, and trusting in Jesus and really following him, and then to deny what the scriptures teach is to be lying when we're saying that we're following him. We're not following him unless we're following him according to his word. And so if the word says this, and then we get all, oh, well, I'm not sure, you know, I'm just a humble old Joe, and I'm not sure if I should try and receive and put those kind of demands on God. And well, you're not following unless you are fully accepting this sacrifice. And to fully accept the sacrifice, it means that we accept what the word says because of the sacrifice. We've received the Spirit. Let's read it again. Let's just read that. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. When Jesus ascended, he said, listen, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit. I'll send the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons for him sending the Holy Spirit is that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And that includes all those things. And you see, the heart that is yielded and that wakes up and says to love God is the heart that's dependent on God. And that's saying, Lord, I love you. I thank you. Thank you so much for this day, Lord. Oh, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, thank you, Lord. I'm so appreciative. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm expecting from you today, Savior. Glory be to God. There's things that are going to happen today. God is orchestrating my life. Can you see? Am I making sense? And so, this is what he's saying to us. And it's beautiful. This is a beautiful, beautiful thing. You know, I think of there was a friend of mine, dear Irishman, Mr. Martin Newman, who's an evangelist there. And he once went down to Blake's Hotel in Kensington in London. And he used to go down there regular. And he went down in his lovely convertible car. And he took another Irishman with him. My friend Martin, wealthy man. The man he took with him wasn't a wealthy man. He used to sell the newspapers on the street corner. Little Irishman. He was about this high. Jimmy, his name was. And he said he would turn up in the convertible car and Jimmy would hop in and they'd drive down to Blake's and they'd have lunch there. And this day, Gloria Gaynor was there. She was a singer at the time. This is a long time ago now, in the 80s. Anyone heard of Gloria Gaynor? And then there was a guy from a rock band called Led Zeppelin. He was there. I forget his name now, but he was there. And then there was a man who was an actor, very famous at the time, called Dudley Moore. Anyone remember him? And Dudley Moore and his wife were there. And he said, we had a great afternoon, he said. We all gathered round in a circle. He said, sitting round the chairs in a circle. We had a lovely lunch there. And he said, we were singing. And by the end of it, little Jimmy was on the table playing the spoons. He said, Stevie, you should watch him. He said, he played the spoons on his head like this. He played the spoons in the back of his arm like this. Stevie, it was wild. He said, I was conducting everyone, he said, singing the Our Father. He said, Gloria Gaynor, she had a tremendous voice. He said, in the hotel. And he said, by the end of it, Dudley Moore and his wife were so enamored with this little Jimmy. They thought, oh, he's a lovely little man. They said, now, where do you live? He said, I live in the packs. I said, what do you mean you live in the park? He said, I live in the packs. He said, I stick the newspapers on the ground like that, cover them with their leaves, dig a little hole, you know, covered it with the leaves, and then have a nice little bed there for the night, you know. I said, Do you live in the parks? He said, you're coming back with us. And Martin said to me, he saw him that night. The last time he saw him that night was driving in the back of the Rolls. He could barely see his little hand waving goodbye. He was waving in the back of the Rolls. Dudley Moore and his wife took him to their mansion in Buckinghamshire. So they go to the mansion in Buckinghamshire, and he says to the butler, they had a butler, you know. He says, listen, he said, this is our dear friend. Give him the best. Whatever he wants, give it to him. I said, okay. So Jimmy goes up to his room, lovely four-poster bed, beautiful room, just brilliant. He said, any food he wants, anything at all, just give it to him. In the morning, they get a knock on the door from the butler. Mr. Moore, Mr. Moore, your friend, sir, we can't find him anywhere. He said, he's not in his room. So Dudley Moore, his wife, and the butler are all running around the room looking for him. They look under the bed, and then they look on top of the four-poster bed. He's not there. Then they look into the bathroom area. Then they look in the cupboard. They're looking everywhere for Dudley. They can't find him. Then the wife opens up the curtain. She looks outside. And just beyond the drive, there's some trees. And she sees he's moved away the leaves, and he's gone outside, and he's covered himself with leaves, and he slept the night outside under the tree, covered in leaves. What he did was retreated back to that which he knew. He retreated back to that which he was comfortable with. And what happens to Christians so often is that we retreat back to what we're comfortable with, to what we know. And instead of saying, well, this is what the Bible says, it goes right against my thinking, but I am going to conform my thinking to the Word of God, and I refuse to conform the Word of God to my thinking. Amen. And most people miss this because they try, sadly, to be conforming the Word of God always to their thinking. But the truth is, we enter into the realms of the power of the gospel of Jesus when we conform our thinking to the Word of God. Now, the thing with Jimmy, the illustration of Jimmy, if you were there, you'd say, you'd never do that, would you? You'd never do it, would you? I wouldn't. I mean, with a four-poster bed, And a guy just on the end of a bell, you'd have a great time tonight, wouldn't you? I could just see your eyes lighted up then. you know, it would be lovely, wouldn't it? That would be, and I could just, you know, and you just thought, well, listen. What we do is we refuse the four-poster bed and all of the benefits, and we, in fact, go outside, cover ourselves with leaves and sleep outside every time we refuse the benefits that we've been speaking about this morning. Now think on that. That's exactly what we're guilty of doing. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That's exactly what we do. Now, God is calling us to be wise. He's calling us to receive the benefits of his grace. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is just an encouragement for us to say, things have been given to me by God. I will receive those things. I will receive from God. And the fruits of the Holy Spirit will come naturally out of my yielded life. It's not a list that I need a tick box. It comes naturally flowing out of my yielded life. Hallelujah. He loves us. Let's just stand, shall we?